All right, you hear that music on Tuesdays at 9:40. It means one thing. That's right, Bulgarian clog dancing. No, it means it's time for SalesportsTalk.com. Joining us is Patty Mangan, and Patty, we're looking for our guest, Chris Poole. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in San Francisco, and I haven't been on the show with you for a while, so I'm happy.
Yes. You know what? Last time I saw you in person, I believe we were at SailGP over by the St. Francis Yacht Club as they were racing on the bay, wrapping up that season. And I noticed this last weekend, SailGP was at it again, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's a big weekend coming up, and they've added additional cities. But the final is always right here at home in San Francisco.
Is it always here?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
The final. Yeah.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about Chris, because he just won a race himself, didn't he?
Oh, second time back-to-back wins for the Congressional Cup in Long Beach this past weekend. And I've been doing a little more research, and this is quite the beginning of a world tour of racing. So kind of like what's going on with many other fleets, basically, they're racing around the world, the teams. And Chris is in New York. Have we got him yet?
We do not.
Okay. So they race down there on Catalina 37s. And in the bigger picture of things, all the races that started in Long Beach and then go around the world and end up in China, they race on different boats in every location. So they go to around 14 different international and national locations. And each time it's match racing. So everybody is on the same type of boat, right? Mm-hmm. But they're all different in every location. So you have to be skilled at, it's kind of like being able to drive, 14 different kinds of race cars.
Very interesting. We do have our guests, Chris Poole, Chris, Rick Tittle, and Patty Mangan with you, SalesportTalk.com on Sports Byline USA. And we were just talking about the Long Beach Yacht Club Congressional Cup, and now you are en route to London. Tell us what you're going to be doing over there, please.
Yeah, we just finished up the Congressional Cup here at Long Beach. It's the first stop of the 2024 World Match Racing Tour, and it was a great event.
So London got into the mix, Rick. Get London. Chris just landed in New York, and his next competition will be in Montenegro, but not for a few weeks from now. So in Long Beach, you won the Crimson Blazer again. And I don't understand. Is it one blazer or do you keep collecting?
You do get to keep collecting. Every year you win the event, you get a new Crimson Blazer to add to your collection. And the ongoing joke is the first team to get to 6 wins will show up to the opening dinner of the event with every crew member wearing a Crimson Blazer.
So Montenegro, you'd be racing on the Adriatic. What's that like?
It's going to be good. I think the conditions will be nice there, so we'll see what happens when we get there.
I wanted to ask you about what you are racing on in New York. When you're at home, what are you racing on?
Yeah, so my home yacht club is Swanica Corinthian Yacht Club on the North Shore of Long Island. So we race on Long Island Sound in Oyster Bay, and they have a fleet of 40-foot boats, similar to the Catalinas, but they use 5 crew instead of 6, and they have a fleet of 12 of those that are all identical, like the Catalinas in Long Beach. Similar to all of the tour events, there's no performance advantage by boat. It's by the team only.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the biggest moment of peril you've had in your sailing career?
Biggest moment of peril? Nothing too big. I think probably the moment that got me the most nervous was I was doing a transatlantic delivery on a 170-foot schooner, a super yacht, and we were in a bit of a storm crossing the Atlantic, and I was doing a deck walk, and it was just a bit nerve-wracking. Couldn't really see too much. The waves were pretty big, and when I came back, one of my crew, I didn't know where he had gone. He had gone down below to check navigation, but I didn't know that, so I got a bit nervous that he might have fallen overboard or something, but it was all okay.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, not a fun split second, but once it was all sorted, it was fine. But it was just one of those moments where you look back and like, all right, we need to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
You know, I do race committee at South Beach Yacht Club, and we've had people, you know, go overboard during racing. And it's always amazing how these very competitive sailors will drop it, everything, and well, sometimes they get picked up by a competitor, right? They just get picked up from there, and then they just have to keep racing. But it's always harrowing.
Yeah, well, you never want to leave a sailor in the water, and that's, like, one of the big things is losing a man overboard. But a lot of the racing I do is primarily inshore, so you're not really at risk of, you know, being out over, you know, out at sea at night. But we have safety procedures in place when you do offshore and overnight races just to ensure the safety of the crew.
So as you're sailing overseas, how do you get the boat over? Do you just throw it on a tanker, or how does it work?
Well, it depends on the boats. Primarily, the World Match Racing Tour, the venues provide the boats, so you don't have to transport any equipment other than the crew and sailing gear to stay dry. But the other racing requires the boats go on a ship, and then they get transported on a cargo ship, essentially, with the masts and everything still upright, and then they get offloaded when they reach their port of departure.
So, you know, I want our listeners to understand what this win means with the 59th Congressional Cup in terms of the level of competition down at Long Beach. And there was, I think, what, a dozen teams, international teams. And Ian Williams was in there. What is he, a seven-time winner of the World Match Racing Tour? These are the best.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, I mean, Long Beach always brings the toughest competition, I think, of any event on the circuit in the calendar year. Every team wants to get an invite there. It's also partly because the hospitality put on by Long Beach Yacht Club is second to none, and then the conditions also are phenomenal for having some really good match racing. But yeah, we had a really deep field this year. We had America's Cup sailor Gavin Brady, who's a four-time winner of the event, come back to the match racing this year. And Ian Williams, who just won his seventh world championship, was there, and he's the one we ended up facing. We actually went through Gavin and Ian Williams to get to the win. But yeah, the competition was amazing. Really tough work. We won it last year without losing a single race, and this year we had to step up our game another level. It wasn't that we were necessarily super slow compared to last year, was that the competition around us all kind of rose to the challenge and brought their A game, which meant we had to find another gear. So it took us about 3 days before we started to feel like we had that little bit of edge on both speed on our opponents.
When did you first realize, Chris, that you had the skills to be better than most other sailors? Because they say, like, with, you know, race car drivers, they have to see, you know, what's ahead, almost like a chess player, four moves ahead. When did you first realize you had those skills?
I'd say kind of pretty early on when I got stuck into sailing, as I think my mom didn't want to babysit me anymore, and my older brother had done sailing camp at the yacht club down the street in Maine where I grew up. And so she signed me up for it, and the beginner class was full, so they put me in intermediate, even though I had never been in a sailboat. And they only did that because my mom was like, he likes being on the water, he'll probably be okay. And 3 weeks into my sailing career, after my mom dropped me off on day one saying, just act like you know what you're doing, I sailed my first event against 40 kids in the beginner fleet, but still 40 kids, and I managed to get second place. And that's kind of where I figured out, like, all right, the sailing thing, I kind of have a knack for it. And I especially have a knack for kind of playing chess and being able to kind of predict what my opponents are thinking and what their options, what their moves are. And over the years, I've just honed in on that ability, and it's really played well in the game of match racing, where it's one-on-one and there's no performance advantage from equipment. The only advantage you have is the sailors on board the boat. And so playing that game of chess on the water is very strong when you're match racing.
So your mom said, fake it until you make it, and you didn't have to fake it very long.
Basically, that's why I got out of the car, and I looked at her, and I was like, Mom, what am I supposed to do? And she said, just act like you know what you're doing. And I was like, okay. And I closed the door with that. It was my words of wisdom into my sailing career on my first day on the sailboat.
Good advice. You got time for one more question, Patty?
Yes. How many times have you been in the World Match Racing Tour?
I've been on the World Match Racing Tour probably consistently the last 6 years. A couple times before that, I've done World Tour events, just kind of trying to work your way up, because you need to have a ranking of a certain level to get the invites to the big events that the tour provides. This, I think, will be going into my 11th year of match racing and probably 7th year, properly on the tour.
It's Chris, wow. Chris Poole, everyone. And for more information, go to sailsportstalk.com. Chris, thanks for being on the show today.
No, thank you very much for having me, you guys.
And Patty, good to hear from you as well.
Oh, great talking to everybody. Thank you.